The air conditioning is 100% operational. Hail Hydra. It's GRD's Weekly.
Bruce is evil.
No shock. No real big shock there. Hi, everybody, and welcome to GRD's Weekly episode
220.
That's it. I can't wait for 227.
Oh,
Maverick. Thank you. Wow, that was my worst one I've ever done.
It really was. I was going to be supportive. Hi, we're those fantastic folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. Blah, 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 Facebook, Twitter, things of that nature. You know all of that. The people kicking around talking about it tonight, well, of course, who do we have with us? We have the lady who has plans for any situation. It is the Flintstress.
Get out of your uniform and get ready for action.
Okay, whoa.
Okay.
How you doing there? The man who found his destiny, it's the Bruce.
Henceforth, you shall be known as the Red Skull. You will be evil personified.
See, it was already
established.
Wow. I'm good with this.
And I am the oh-so-humble Billy Flynn.
There is nothing I cannot do. Nothing. Nothing.
So what have you been doing?
I'm going to give you a dictionary for Christmas one year so you can look up that word.
It's good to be confident in your abilities.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Certainly, yeah.
All right, yeah, it's been quite the geeky week. Let's go ahead and start with The Return, Season 4, Episode 1, Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
I got to watch it.
Dun, dun, oh. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, so we get the...
Wait. Did you join the... You didn't used to watch this, right?
Oh, well, the thing is I didn't watch it when it was on HBO, when it was being broadcast.
Okay,
I caught up.
Okay.
So...
Nice.
Well, welcome to Westeros. And yeah, so we get a little bit of plot advancement for each one of the characters, just a little bit. Daenerys is headed to Meereen. And, you know, I remember that part about them having the slaves like every mile tied up. That was creepy how she was like posed with like her finger out, like, go that way. I pointed. like as a vidcast.
Yep.
So that was kind of crazy. And the whole sort of dynamic between Grey Worm and Daario. Of course, the internet is in an uproar about them recasting Daario, which I already knew because. I mean, I have the internet, but he's relatively good looking. This other guy, he's just not the same.
Pardon me, but I'm sitting there when I see him, and I'm going, "Wait, what did the other guy look like again?" I couldn't quite remember there.
The other guy looked a little bit more like Jakar Noah. No, what's his name?
Jakar Noah.
Jakon Hagar. Yeah, looked more like that. Like had longer hair. You know, the faceless man. Valar Morghulis. All men must die. Never mind. He looked a little bit more like him. He had longer hair, and I remembered. But
I'm glad you did.
Yeah, and we also get plans for the wedding, Marjorie, and they're picking out necklaces and all that kind of stuff. And
necklace.
Sansa's devastated, obviously, at the Red Wedding. We're still seeing her reel from that. And Tyrion is really trying to be there for her. You know, he's not sleeping with anybody else, and it's kind of a crazy thing. Of course, the big thing from this episode is a brand new character who's a fan favorite, the Red Viper. Oberyn Martell has finally come from Dorne in time for the wedding, and he hates the Lannisters. Capital H hates the Lannisters. And it was just so funny how Tyrion is waiting for him and he doesn't even show up, and then they go to the brothel and he's just like, yeah,
he's about to kill people. Nice.
Yeah, I mean, he just basically straight up said, Tyrion, tell your dad I'm coming here to kill him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
Tyrion's like, okay, I'll get down on that message.
And I mean, I've read the books, but it's been a while. So I remember key plot points, big, like who dies and when and those types of things. But so I went back and I was looking at, there's this pretty good wiki online that has all of Game of Thrones, everything. And spoilers though, if you haven't read the books, it's not just the show. So you could end up seeing something that you didn't want to accidentally see.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, wait. So his sister, Elia, was married to Rhaegar. And then Rhaegar was the son of the Mad King. So I had to go back and reacquaint myself with all of that had gone on. He was killed by Robert Baratheon.
Programs. Get your programs right here. You don't know who's who without your programs.
Who's sleeping? Who's killing? Who's doing who?
Wow, I'm sorry.
You broke me. It was just funny.
That was going to work like that.
You know, so there's definitely a bit of that where it's like, if you're just watching the show, you probably get it on one level, but then it's nice to have a deeper connection to it. So I definitely kind of went back and sort of refreshed myself. You know, they've got some really good family trees that you can look at, so you can see
those
how everybody's related to one another.
Go ahead.
The important question is, did you look up to see if they do actually get to complete their quest of sleeping with a guy and a girl hooker.
I did not. You know, I did not check that out.
Quadrangle going there.
Right, because they don't really, you know, after his little altercation with Tyrion, I think he probably turns right back around and goes back in the brothel and finishes business. But who knows?
He seemed to have things.
He already paid, I'm sure.
On his mind kind of thing going.
Yeah.
And well, at least he didn't get his money back, though. Like the other one.
Yeah.
And once again, may I say, I am a big fan of yoga. Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. And then we also get, you know, Cersei is not really welcomed Jamie back the way that he thinks that she should have. And we see the golden hand.
Yes,
and
with open legs.
Well, that's just kind of, you know, it's sort of like.
You don't have your hand anymore. And like, when did you get back here? Like sooner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
God's been coming around.
And like, you left me and I needed you. It's kind of ridiculous after all that she's been through. I know he's not the same, but. I mean, I don't know. It seems a little bit off, her reaction. So we'll see how that all goes.
Okay.
And then probably one of the best interactions in the show recently coming up, all that's going on right now, is the Hound and Arya Stark.
Yeah.
And I made a meme about this one with the chickens, and there's lots of like chicken memes going around. And that with that whole scene is just kind of like, I rewatched it again yesterday, and I'm just looking at it. You're seeing it, and you're like, God, just give the man a chicken. You have no idea who the hell you are dealing with. Like, you have zero idea that he is just going to kill all of you. And Arya's going to help.
You do not know who you are.
Right, and the look on his face right before, I mean, we're talking Game of Thrones, so whatever, spoilers, but when Arya kills, finally realizes who she was and where he got the sword from, that was definitely a cool moment.
You'll regret that.
And Jon Snow, that was kind of badass of him, actually. He was just kind of like, you know what, if you're going to decide to take my head, that's fine, but like, you really need to know that I infiltrated the Wildlings, and I found out all this information, and it might be hard to believe that Corran Halfhand told me to kill him, but he did. I didn't want to do it, but I gathered all of this intel so that we can be more prepared against the Wildlings, and maybe you should cut me a little bit of slack, because it wasn't easy to betray all these people and, you know, and pretend to be a Wildling.
And everybody's worried about the Wildlings and this and that. Then you got the snow zombies who are like, oh, by the way, that's what we built this wall, right?
Right.
Yeah, they're on the way.
And I mean, the Wildlings and the Night's Watch really need to put aside their centuries of hatred of one another to fight against the White Walkers. Who knows?
And I'd like to call here and now, it would be snombies.
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 Are you going to trademark that word, snombies?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, we're going to be able to, you know, but I'd like the credit, you know.
You want the credit? Okay,
we can do some source.
You know,
because I hate having really great ideas and having them just turn up and nobody even remembers where it comes from.
Yeah.
I love you, Don and Mike.
So snombies.
Snombies.
If that goes viral, I'll tell you.
That's right.
Gotcha.
Funny. That's a virus I spread to the world. Thank you.
So anything that I missed as far as Game of Thrones?
Just awesomeness. Just awesomeness. Just, yeah.
Oh, the sword. The title of the episode, The Two Swords.
Yeah.
That was the dramatic, like, moment when they melt down Ned Stark's sword. I mean, it was just like, ultimate insult.
Oh, see, I thought that was still about the brothel.
Oh, don't cross the swords.
That's Billy Flynn at GeekRadioDaily.com. So, in addition to Game of Thrones, we also watched Highlander. Spencer had not seen Highlander.
There can be only one.
All that original music by Queen. That movie is like super dated. Hair and clothes and all of that and the Queen rocking music. Yep. But it is still so fun.
It is so badass.
So fun. I mean, Kurgan dressed up like he is, even nowadays, would inspire fear in people. That punk zipper chains like look is still a thing.
Hello, ladies.
Yeah, so that movie is just awesome. Makes me want to chop somebody's head off with a sword.
Right?
Right. So that was fun. And then...
Oh, and if for some strange reason you haven't seen it, see it. And then don't watch anything else with the name Highlander on it, please.
Right, because there can be only one movie. Or at least there should have only been.
I'm just saying.
So we're not going back to The Raven or anything else like...
See, I mean, you wanted... I tried the show for a bit. I really did. But it occurred to me that after a couple of years of, you know, basically killing an immortal every week, he should be the most powerful motherfucker walking around. I would.
Also, okay, Sean Connery was our you know, not our inspiration for Highlander. It was the whole story and everything. But we also watched Zardoz.
Oh, Zardoz.
God. bad.
Zardoz was just as bad as I remembered it. If we had thought to subject you to it, it would have made a pretty fun commentary.
Yeah.
But we should have recorded all the quips that we were saying as we were watching it. Zardoz
was drinking.
Terrible.
I was drinking.
And I wasn't, but I was still having a lot of fun with Zardoz until I think I fell asleep at the end. But it was so just the outfits and the people and just everything about it. It was like
Zardoz.
Crazy. I mean, when the movie starts,
it's from
Dude, Where's My Car?
Oh,
Zoltan. Oh, Zardoz. Anything that starts with Z can get that treatment.
Yeah, pretty much, you know. Zero. Yeah. It works.
Well, you know, when the movie started with the guy doing his monologue,
hi,
and then
the floaty head,
I was like, what the frack is this movie, Zardoz? So. Yeah, if you're under the influence of drugs or alcohol, you may appreciate Zardoz.
It's really good if you have. It makes a good drinking game, that's for sure. It certainly does.
Hey, every movie is a good drinking game if you try hard enough.
I suppose, but where else?
Where Mo calls in to the news station,
Senator.
The guys that on The Simpsons are playing a drinking game, and every time they hear the word Senator, they have to drink. So Mo calls in a fake news story about senators.
Senator. I want to be the boat.
It was, oh, God. So, yeah, pretty
yeah.
Fun.
And, of course, we had the season finale of The Walking Dead.
Yeah, it's a trap.
The most not secret ever. I think we all knew that something was wrong with The Walking Dead.
Well, with Terminus?
With Terminus, yeah. And the fact, okay, and like I was really proud of them at first because they did like a little bit of, they were like, hey, we're going to do recon. We're going to go and we're going to scout it out. We're not going to just charge right up and walk in the front door. We're going to figure things out. But they didn't wait very long. Like they had a couple of minutes of like a moment, Carl and Michonne in the woods, and then they just kind of walked right in the back door. They could have waited until like another group arrived and like tried to scout out and see what happened to that other group.
Yeah, but you never know how long you're going to be waiting for that.
Yeah, and they might have been like completely out of food by that point. Who knows? But it just kind of seemed like still. Also, I think that Rick should have played it a little closer to the vest when like he noticed that all of their stuff, like that's so-and-so's poncho and that's Glenn's watch that Herschel gave him and all these things that he was noticing. I mean, he could have like eaten a plate of food, kind of hung out for a little while and not like tipped his hand right away to let them know that he knew.
Eating a plate of Beth?
Well, it was probably somebody because they didn't, you know, I mean, that's definitely what it has to be. Ah, it definitely.
Yeah.
It, I mean, maybe not Beth
specifically.
There's
no cows roaming around. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know how the rat situation
is. Is it rat burger?
Yeah, rat burger. Rat?
I was wondering if you were going.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Anytime. You get to go to that reference. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, this episode, I'd have to say meh. And I know that's kind of strange considering it did include attempted boy rape and other interesting crazy. That seemed to come out of left field. That escalated very quickly, I think.
That seemed like violence for the okay, like it seemed out of character with that group of people.
No.
Like a little bit, because they obviously established that they were pretty messed up people. They had this code, you had to claim things and all these things, but like he seemed relatively, the leader Joe seemed relatively willing to listen to reason, you know, with Daryl and the whole thing with like the rabbit and his dispute with the other guy, and then all of a sudden based on one person's word he's willing to just totally kill Rick without even considering that he could be a decent human being. It just seemed very
I disagree. I think that was completely within character. You know, you look out for the people that are with you, and then everybody else, the hell with them, kill them, do whatever you want. They are there for your entertainment.
Well, he wasn't so keen to kill Daryl.
But he would have. He would have, with that first meeting, he would have killed Daryl like that if, you know, he looked at Daryl.
Well, he saw that Daryl had value to the group or whatever, that Daryl could be useful. Rick could certainly be useful.
Well, sure, but he is going on a vengeance and sort of an eye for an eye kind of thing. I just meant the fact that somebody in his group would be potentially trying to rape a kid, because that seems like a very odd thing that you'd let handle in your group.
But the thing is, like, they might not have run across all that many kids. I doubt that there's that many kids alive, you know, if Lizzie had anything to do with it.
Too soon.
I just don't think a lot of kids just like naturally survived, or if people tried to protect kids, that doesn't always, they're not all Clementine.
The only real problem I have with that is that they killed the leader, and he was literally the most interesting person I think we've seen in quite some time. And for him to have to be forced to go to Terminus with them and the dynamic with Rick, that would have been an interesting
if they had been together
plot.
In that, you know, shipping crate thing, trying to, okay, now we need to band together. That could have, you're right, that could have been very interesting.
but yeah, so no, and yeah, things were just, what was, so the guy, did the guy who was just in the field that they watched die, did he not understand the concept that the zombies in front of you, you don't have to kill if there's a big opening behind
right,
you that you could still run.
Turn around. It was kind of like, that was so dumb, because if that was the way he
did
reacted
be like,
to
hey,
zombies,
man,
he would have never
buddy.
Made it.
Can he be on the show today? Oh, sure. Just put him out in the field real quick.
Right. And we'll just let him get killed.
He may have been injured. You never know. But yeah, exactly. If they're not completely surrounding you, you keep moving.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's you know, one zombie, sure, zombies, shit ton of zombies, yeah, zombie with a Z.
Snobbies. That would have been bad, too, especially in Atlanta.
Especially.
Melting
snobbies. Think they would have melted?
Yeah, dripping.
Yeah, I'm sure they would. It's also weird that, you know, the big buildup, I don't know, this is exactly kind of what I was worried about. This is the cliffhanger they want to leave us on.
Yeah.
That you want to,
and Rick's whole statement, like, "Oh, they've messed with the wrong people."
Well, they're trying to appease comic fans, because other than the fact that they toned it down for TV, that's something that was exactly said in the Terminus storyline. I believe in the Terminus storyline, but yeah, it just seemed a little
toned
weird.
It down a little
like
bit.
You have no position to be saying anything because you just totally got caught.
What?
Like, Rick has no position to be able to say anything, talk any kind of trash, because he totally got caught.
Well, in the comic, it seemed to read a lot better. On the show, it did strike me as kind of like, what? You're locked
in? Yeah, what are you going
to
do?
Okay, wait. Are you the A-team? What the hell are you about to do? Is
MacGyver
going to chop this down? And
you got a paperclip in your pocket?
It's already a vehicle. We just need to make it ours, B.A.
Yeah, you need an air compressor, and all of a sudden, these... these
my trash bags.
Okay. And I mean, sure. Rick also basically is acting like, well, Glenn and Maggie and all the rest of the people you were with, you couldn't figure your way out of this, but I will. I mean, I'm superior to everything.
Well,
right.
Maybe now that he's got everybody together and
he's
when
got
their
the gang back
powers
together.
Combine.
They form a Voltron.
I don't know. It was just overall, it was meh at best to me.
And the whole, like, shooting on the ground to direct them where they needed to go was dumb. That's a total waste of bullets.
But no, it's completely effective, though.
Well, sure, but... How does that not bring more zombies? See,
shoot around them in a circle and make them stop. Get down on the ground and hold a gun on them and walk them to the cage.
Well, yeah, they were hurting them. They were literally being hurt.
I understand
hurted.
That, but
well, yeah.
I'm saying it was unnecessary.
It was, I mean, yeah, they really had the advantage. They could have swarmed out with people. They swarmed out with people at the very end.
No, that's what they wanted to keep. Stop them.
That's,
you
okay.
stop right
so
there.
That's a lot of bullets and a lot of noise in this.
I agree with the noise part.
Especially since that was the only security that we saw. It was at the very end, because otherwise... Yeah.
Right,
it seems...
I can see they didn't want to tip their hand about how many people they had. They didn't want them to see.
And how interesting, honestly, I wanted to see the processing of them. I wanted to see that, like, you know, the lost facility thing.
Right.
I wanted to see that sort of prisoner aspect of what is it that you're doing, because play it along, because we all know that this is BS. We all know this. So the best thing you could do now is just heighten it up and make us go, well, what the hell is it already? And now we've sort
right.
of
well, I'm sure that. That at some point we'll get a flashback to Glenn and Maggie.
And maybe more farming with Rick.
And all of them right behind, like right after they get to Terminus and like what happens to them, I feel like we'll
yeah,
see how
okay.
they end up in the
sure.
cage. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it's just we're supposed to piece it together based on what we saw. At some
Clues.
Point they took away all their stuff. At some point they put them in the cage.
Yeah. So, oh well, what are you going to do?
Yep.
Wait till October, November, whenever it is.
Well, we also watched Archer, and that's still on.
Yeah.
Gosh, still the most quotable show on all of TV.
I've missed the last episode because my DVR did not record it for
no.
some stupid reason. I don't know why. It was set to record it. Didn't record it for some
the
reason.
On-demand stuff is really kind of nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll find it somewhere. But
I believe in you.
Damn, that last... the episode right before the last one. Hilarious.
Wow. Did you just wet yourself there a little bit?
That's... God. Maybe a little bit.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's that good.
But it's like, yeah, the cast is, they're all consistent characters no matter what situation you put them in. You know, Archer's going to sleep with somebody.
Yep.
Mom's going to drink.
Yep.
Lana's going to be judgmental.
Pam's going to hide away with a...
with a bunch of cocaine.
A bunch of cocaine.
Charlene is going to, you know, make a country album.
Which you can buy.
Outlaw Ford Country!
you can buy. So way to go, marketing department.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, thank you. I mean, I like the show. Don't get me wrong.
I don't know. He's bound and down. I can always go for Jerry Reed, you know.
Oh, and Danger Zone.
Oh, hell yeah. Right.
Danger Zone.
See, there it is. If you're going to buy two, you might as well buy the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was good. I'm also...
She's like, okay, just shut up.
Been watching Arrow. Finally, I'm still in season one. I think I just watched episode 11. And so he's starting to kind of... I like the island flashbacks because it's kind of telling us about his character development.
They keep going. Don't worry.
And I'm liking his, you know, kind of evolution. He had to get taken down a peg and then realize that maybe he's not super invincible. And
wait a minute.
Just in general, I'm liking it all right. But I could do without, I guess, the love triangle of him and the girl and the best friend. And the sister's also kind of annoying. All the rest of the characters can just kind of go away.
they flesh a lot of this stuff out in season two. Wait till you get to Slade Wilson.
Oh,
okay.
I'm so
oh,
waiting.
It yeah. looks good.
Yeah.
It looks good. It's almost his outfit when he actually becomes Deathstroke is a little bulky almost, but it's right there.
It's fine. You know, it's hard to have him in there and something not be classy. The Teen Titans cartoon that I never could really stand.
Yeah.
When they had him on, yeah. suddenly they got pretty good. Kiefer Sutherland voiced him.
But he was Slade on
there. He was Slade. Still though.
But they couldn't call it Deathstroke. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Great.
Ouchie stroke. Boo-boo stroke.
we'll take a long nap stroke.
That was terrible.
Gone to the farm stroke.
Oh, boo.
Flushed on the toilet stroke.
We can do this all day. You must keep going.
And then we had some roller derby since we've had the show.
We did.
And we had two games and we won both of our games, which is great.
Woohoo.
And I bench coached for the team, and that was fun to like call out different things for people to do and, you know, helped out with the team.
Shut up.
Well, you know, and sometimes I did get to yell, hit her again.
Hit her harder. Knock her down.
She said something about your skates.
Yeah. I think I got to say hit her in the titties, which is always funny, you know, because there's this play where people will stand like, your shoulder is like almost at their chest because they are like angled because they're going to try to like bump you and set a pick basically for you to be able to get around them. But when they're already set up in that position, all you have to do is lower your shoulder, take a step, and you can like rock them right in the chest and, you know, hit them in the titties is a fun thing to yell out in the middle of a game.
It's a fun thing to yell out in the middle of dinner.
Sure. I mean, you know, pretty much any situation. I can't think of a time.
Church.
You remember Bob's Wake? It worked so great there.
So you may be asking yourself, why didn't I play in the roller derby game? I am taking a hiatus from roller derby for about 9 months or so because we are soon to welcome in the month of October the newest geek to the world. Billy Flynn and I are pregnant and we'll be having a baby.
Yay. Oh, really?
Yeah.
How about that?
Oh, surprise!
Wow, the things you learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Surprisingly like that.
So we don't know yet if it's a boy or a girl, so it'll either have a Wonder Woman theme or a Green Lantern theme or, you know, who
or
knows?
Both.
Batman or, yeah, just superheroes all over the place and what?
A Wonder Woman Green Lantern outfit. I need to see
like a
that
hybrid?
Yeah.
How about just Jade?
Jade is always...
There you go.
Always acceptable.
She's green, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
See?
So yeah, that's pretty... I guess not necessarily geeky news. We did get an ultrasound, and it was kind of cool how much you could see. Like, you could see its arms moving, and, like, it was just... it's only the size of a peach, but it already has arms. It's weird. It looks like an alien. And it is killing me like an alien. Like, it is sucking my energy out and, like, making me throw up all the time. And so, like, that part hasn't been fun. But it's okay.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. How am I?
Not Michigan J. Frog.
Come on, you remember from Spaceballs.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
There you go.
It's been a while. Well, I feel like I probably forgot like a bunch of things. But anyway, that has been my Geeky Week.
All
right, let's go with The Americans. This is the show.
The American Brown. Oh,
no. This is the show about the two communist spy sleeper agents in the
with
United
Felicity?
States. Yes.
Carrie Russell. Sorry.
Yes, Carrie Russell.
With Waitress. Thank you. That's how I like to think of her.
Wonder Woman.
It's better hair. But better hair than this one, than Felicity.
Sorry, she said Wonder Woman.
You went somewhere, didn't you?
Green Lantern.
You went
thinking about it again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, some point there. Carrie Russell is naked in this episode.
I'm sorry?
All the way full frontal naked? Well, I mean, you can't because it's television.
Well, you can't, but yeah, she's laying down naked in a bed and there ain't,
Okay.
You'll have to watch it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. Definitely.
One episode out of context just for boobies.
But episode. This is what Mr. Skin
boobs,
exists for.
Yeah.
Boobs.
But the show is amazing. Absolutely just amazing all the way through. It's great writing. if you haven't watched the show, pick up season one and then hit season two, and it's really good stuff. The Blacklist as well. Same line, pretty much. I've kind of gotten this theme of shows where it's kind of got that conspiracy theory type of
or
intrigue.
Does it?
Or does it? Dun, dun, dun. No, it does.
Okay.
The Following goes right along with that theme.
Yeah.
I missed the last episode. I've recorded it. I haven't seen it
Holy
yet.
Holy hell, I'm finally ahead on something. Yay.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I'm waiting.
Because, I mean, you remember how that last one ended?
Yes.
Oh, it picks up right there, pretty much.
Okay.
Well, you know, we have something. But, yeah, we get to pick up.
That's good stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's good
following
times.
Following is good times.
Cosmos.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
We did catch up on Cosmos
Love
as well.
Love this show.
Yep.
I don't know how many episodes it's actually going to be. I don't know if it's a 6 or 10 episode
As many
series.
As I want. They will continue or I will burn things. That's all I
Well,
have.
Get your matches ready because it's only going to be
It's only going to be but so long, yeah. But, you know.
It's a mini series. It's only going to last 6 to 10 episodes, something to that effect. But still, oh, my God. This is how science should be taught.
Right? It makes me like so just interested in everything. Yeah, it's great.
I can't wait to see his episode about Interplanet Janet.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Oh. Let's see. We're going to be talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. a little bit later on in the show.
That goes
on the main topic type of thing.
We have a topic.
We have a topic, yeah. Let's see. I have been doing a whole ton of woodworking, and I have finally started putting stuff online, and then I got an email today going, we have to take it offline because you put it in the wrong category, but things like this. Which is a fluorescent pink paddle.
Yes, it is.
Which you'd be surprised exactly how difficult that is to make.
It's lightweight. It's lighter than I thought, but it's glossy.
You know what this really looks like?
What's it look like?
This is the paintbrush icon on a computer, like on MS Paint. That's what this is right here.
It kind of does.
It does the same shape. Or like one of those paddles from when you at an auction and you want to bid.
Oh yeah, the bidder's auction. Yeah, it's a little. Those are a little bit rounder, but yes, I understand.
But Steve Buscemi bids $50.
And no, he bids against himself.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've been doing that, and then now doing cornhole boards, and then more paddles, and then chicken coops.
Always going to be funny to me.
Yeah,
it's always going to be.
Oh, I know. I mean, seriously, the first time we ever heard that term of cornholing, which is a game. I swear to you,
it is. And some people
in the South, it is.
Of course, it is.
I swear to you, was at a carnival that my wife was actually helping work. And they were saying, well, this is the cornhole game. I was like, no, we're not calling that. To kids, no, we can't call it that game. We're going to call it the beanbag toss.
Yeah,
we're not calling it cornhole.
Yeah, that works.
Because if you're from any place other than the South, cornholing is completely different of a terminology.
Pretty much. I was recording a community calendar and read it and broke out into laughter for 2 minutes solid.
Yep.
I went back and listened to it occasionally.
Just to get the giggles.
Yeah. Oh, you know, when you're in a dark place. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good times.
So let's see. Been back in the gym and I haven't started a second job in about a couple of weeks. So that's pretty much been my geekiest week.
Wow. I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready for that at all. So I have rewatched Phantasm and Phantasm 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Getting ready for 5, huh?
Oh, hells yes. Love these movies. God, I love these movies so much. They are crazy, crazy. I have the soundtrack for Phantasm. Thank you very much.
Does not surprise me.
We play it sometimes at Halloween.
Yeah, Halloween. It makes it's good music to play.
Or just for sex.
Or, you know, if you're listening to Marilyn Manson as well, sure.
Yeah, sure.
But no, it also works. It's music I played in background when I would run some vampire games because, you know, action sequences, creepiness. But so, yeah, that's good stuff. Let's see. Arkham City has come in from...
from excellent game.
I'm liking it the more I go along. However, it does just kind of feel like a repaint of Arkham City.
Yeah, it and that's what I talked about when I did the review of it. It's if you liked Arkham City, if you liked Arkham Asylum, this is the same thing.
I'm really enjoying.
Then it should have been more DLC.
Well, no, because they have done things to it, and it is a much bigger, expansive storyline thing.
And
blah,
it's
blah,
a
blah.
Prequel.
Yeah, and it is a prequel. But I really like the way they've done the reconstruction of the crime scenes in this.
Yeah.
Did you ever figure out how to get past the steam vents? Did you need a thing that you didn't have
there's
yet?
Something, you need. I'm still, there's...
Glue grenade.
Yeah.
Glue grenade for those.
That's why you got to go... That's the game. So now you got to go back a sixth time because you've got something to get through this particular little place.
Yes. And when you go through it the first time, you don't get all of the... all the missions the first time through.
No. Nope. No, you don't.
No.
No, you don't. So.
Well, that's good. Good bang for the buck.
And good voices. Good voices.
Even though they were not, yeah. You know, the originals.
But good voices. So nice for them. Like, we went and hung out in Carytown one day before going to see a certain film, mm-hmm. I think. And, like, the plane trade over there had pilot wings for the 3DS for, like, $7. I was like, okay, it's mine, finally. Because
this is the one where, when you first got the 3DX.
Well, when the XL came out, when, like, if you traded it in, if you bought a 3DS XL from GameStop, they would give you a free game. Pilot Wings or Steel Diver. And I think every GameStop had one or two Pilot Wings and, like, 40 copies of Steel Diver that they gave out. Give out to people. So, yeah. So
for that.
Just every now and again, like, so now it's finally there because there's really nothing cooler. I've always enjoyed the hang gliding stages. There's just something really awesome. Just
definitely
about
$7 worth of fun.
Definitely. And then randomly get this email from GameStop, this website, Kongregate, stupid online game thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, if you go try this new game we have, we'll give you like a $3 off a used game at GameStop. I'm like,
okay.
How long? So like 10 minutes. Took 10 minutes. Like, okay, you've qualified for it. Like, boom. So then I went and picked up Need for Speed the Run for the 3DS, which I didn't know they made for the 3DS.
Dang.
But they did. And that's pretty impressive. That's quite... it's totally Need for Speed, flying very fast, having to destroy cars and not get killed yourself. That's totally worth the ridiculously reduced price. Hey, you know something we did?
What did I forget?
We watched Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah. We rewatched the entire Lord of the Rings.
Oh, wow. That's a great 17 hours of your life.
It was, yeah, it was about that long.
something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I was just really in the mood to rewatch it. And
to
all
not
the extended
get off my ass
editions.
For
yeah, it was the day after roller derby, and I was super tired, and I felt hungover even though I hadn't drank or smoked or anything. So I just felt, because I yelled, not yelled, but like called out to the team
yeah.
Stayed up late. And I forgot to tell you this story though. At the roller derby at the beginning, me and my co-bench coach, we decided we were going to wear wigs. And so we're wearing the wigs, mine is green, and it's cute. It was pretty cute, right?
Sure, absolutely.
Except it gets hot in there, and I got frustrated, mad at the refs or mad at my team or something, and I took it off and I threw it across the bench, and it was pretty funny. Everybody liked
that. She pulled a black girl move. I was like, I'm going to
throw my wig. Go ahead. Here, hold my earrings. I got to fight. Anyway, but...
take off the nails.
So the next day, yeah, we were totally not trying to do anything or go anywhere. We just vegged, and so we didn't get through the whole thing in one day. We had to do two in one day and then the third movie mm-hmm. a different day. So
nice.
But yeah, we rewatched the entire Lord of the Rings, and it still holds up. It's still... great.
So I watched Sullivan's Travels. Fantastic film. Fantastic film that you'll find that on like Turner Classic Movies. It's in black and white, kids, but goddamn it, go watch a real movie. You've got a director who's known for these wacky comedies that he makes who wants to make like a serious film. You know, get out there and the real people and what's going on.
Yeah.
So he decides, well, he'll have to go out there and just pretend to be one to make this film happen. And along the way, hilarity kind of does ensue. It's a very smart film. And it's an interesting film to also realize that this film he wants to make is a little film called Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Ah,
and yes, the Coens are a big fan of Sullivan's Travels, which is why Oh Brother, Where Art Thou is named Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, because it is the most like this film of their films.
Fun.
So good times indeed. I enjoyed that. I'm now ready for season two of Hannibal because I've rewatched season one, so I've now finished that, so I can now dive into season two. And apparently, I've got some work to do because it seems to be on the possible cancellation list on NBC.
Yeah, I've heard that.
They moved it to Friday nights.
Oh, yeah.
So I figure I've got a
death spot.
Got to get the on-demand and like watch it like three times each episode or something.
Yeah, to save it.
To pad the ratings
to get
or whatever.
Get the numbers going up because, yeah, otherwise it's going to be pretty bad. I was on a classic movie roll. Also watched Gaslight. If you've ever heard of the term gaslighting someone, there's a movie. There's a fantastic film
that explains
what all that
is. I thought you referred to that whole era of...
No. It's
Batman by Gotham by Gaslight. And yeah.
No. It's a very, very interesting film. And oddly enough, and I did not realize this, it's Angela Lansbury's first film.
Wow.
She plays like a maid.
And introducing the ingenue.
Yeah, she plays a maid. She's like 17 or something in it. It's crazy.
Wow.
Had never been in a film before, just happened to be there. April Fool's Day has occurred since we've been there, and lots of funny and then not so damn funny things happened on the internet.
F you, Firefly.
Yeah. I bubble wrapped somebody's desk. It was awesome. And he's left it like that because he likes it better that way.
Well, I usually come in drunk and bump my head. So
no,
this
but
way.
It's he's a technician who works on computers and has got a lot of those little tiny screws that used to roll all off the desk, and now they don't because of the bubble wrap.
That's kind of
okay. Doesn't that kind of kill the whole practical joke if they like it?
I guess. I don't know. It was still fun to do. Oh,
okay.
No, you've bent him to your will or something, I suppose. If I could give a shout out, I think the most clever thing that I saw online, because it's stupid. It's like you don't want to go on the internet anymore on April Fool's Day.
Oh, of course.
The stupid Firefly thing with, oh, click the link. So many people didn't click the link, and I didn't even need to click the link, because I knew if you click the link, that'd be the thing going, you're a jackass, or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
But everyone's like, oh, look, this is I hope this is not an April Fool's thing. And I'm like, it's so an April Fool's, come on. The hell are you talking about?
I actually posted this the night before. I was like, listen, just saying, look at the calendar. Realize that everything you're going to see is probably bullshit.
Remember, tonight is the night of March 31st. But kudos to NPR, because their website put up an article, the headline of which read, America Doesn't Read Anymore. And I tell you what, the comment section was livid. With people wondering how dare they accuse all these people who read all the time are in there defending and saying NPR, that's traditional. Look at them saying the American people are stupid or whatever. You know, if you click the headline, America Doesn't Read Anymore, it said that it's April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
And if you're reading this, don't post anything in the comment section talking about it.
That's funny. So only people who didn't actually read it are the ones who are posting
in the comment section. Yeah.
God.
I was like, that's brilliant. I
that
love
so that's... meta. It's just like amazingly like, yep, schmuck.
So good times. Good times indeed.
Did you talk about ThinkGeek? Because they're the best. They're the highlight of April Fool's for me. Oh, they're not real products, but they have all those cool things.
But sometimes they become.
Yeah, and if you vote and you say, could possibly be. I read this interesting article about how the whole thing with the Tauntaun sleeping bag is what actually caused them to have increased license agreements. So the fact that they have all that Doctor Who stuff is all because of fans clamoring. So they actually approached Lucas, and that's why they have so many tie-ins.
Yeah, they thought it was a joke, and then it was like, oh, people actually want this?
So, yeah,
I'm waiting for Rosetta Stone Klingon now.
Right? See,
they would so. I promise
right?
you.
Of
right?
course they would. Yeah.
Because there's translate programs.
Yeah, there's dictionaries.
Out of all of the fake things, it seemed like the most makeable.
Realistic, yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Although the George Takei on Saturday Night Live, that I wanted to really happen.
I know. And it didn't.
Damn it.
Oh, my.
See, that's the thing about an April Fool's joke. When, like, if it's something that could actually be, that sort of gets you even more, or it's, you know, or you're just kind of like, oh, well, that was not a good April Fool's joke because, you know, it just could have been. Wow, that was terrible.
From Alderaan to Krypton. From Castle Grayskull to the Gates of Mordor. From their lips to your basement, I mean to your underground lair, it's GRD News.
I get a pass for being witty for like the next 9 months because my brain is just
shot. No. Okay. October is not in 9 months.
I'm just tired today.
I understand. But you know, I love you.
I love you.
Aw.
We do have news.
We do.
Yeah. We've got conventions coming up. We're going to be in RavenCon. It's so soon. It's like right around the corner.
Yes, it
is. If you haven't made plans, it's not too late. That's April 25th to the 27th in Richmond, Virginia. It's always at a great facility. It's just, there'll be a lot of great guests. RavenCon is just going to be a highlight, I think.
Party.
I won't be drinking, but I'll still be having fun.
Hey.
Yep. If anybody needs a ride anywhere, I can be your designated driver.
Yes, you will. You will be making drinking. Up the slack.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, we're a team. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
One
and then if you have an Android device and you haven't yet downloaded our app, you should check it out because it's cool. And I don't know. Do we have any other GRD news?
Well, there's the kind of thing that this is normally where I start talking about Starfest, but there's car work and there's it's not looking.
Yeah, we had some unexpected expenses.
Not looking.
So no Starfest.
So it doesn't look like Starfest is going to be what
Sorry.
Happened. Unless there's a magical
All
millionaire.
I guess they're now
going
to cancel
listening.
Now that they hear that you're not going.
I swear to God, if Jason. No, I can't say that. That's still not locked. Hey, everybody. How are you doing?
Good.
Everybody good?
That's Jason Sudeikis?
Yep.
I'm not wearing Jason any Sudeikis. Pants. Film at
Holy
11.
Hell.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. So, all good things come to an end.
I saw the episode.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. It was just called All Good Things, though.
Yeah, it was true.
So,
but you read into it.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. You just kept going with your own thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're saying. I don't want to talk about this because it's time for someone to die. In July, Archie is going to die. Archie Comics is killing off Archie. Well, in the final two issues of Life with Archie, the 30-something of Archie titles. you know, that's when they're adults in the post-college days. So in number 36, he's going to die saving the life of a close friend. And 37, I guess, is when Jughead finally goes, "Why didn't I ever say I love you?" So
it's the recap of awesome.
They'll have a wake issue. So...
He's not going to stay dead.
Of course. Well, this is a
publicity stunt. Nobody's talking about Archie.
Exactly. But this is exactly what they want. They're like, "Oh my God, look, someone's going to actually go, we've got to get the, remember we went and got the issue where Superman died? We got to get the one where Archie dies."
Well,
so
they created this series
just to kill him off.
Pretty much, yeah, just to kill him off.
Yeah.
But they still have the original Archie series because that's...
Because this is Earth 2 Archie. No, well, little Archie.
Teenager.
Little Archie. L-I-L apostrophe Archie.
Little Archie. Oh, little Archie and little Hitler.
Little Hitler. You know, little Archie could stop little Hitler because little Archie the gang used to go on adventures. That was the whole thing. They realized there was a portal in Loch Ness that took you to Atlantis. Damn brilliant.
Did they stop off at Camp Summer Lake? Camp Crystal Lake?
I think they... Summer Lake, I was
Crystal
wondering.
Lake, yeah.
What, he got a cease and desist? Don't be talking about that no more. Anyway, yeah, that's your marketing. I mean, your comic news. Yeah, go.
Okay. Well, I've got some science news, and this is kind of inspired by Cosmos and Big Bang Theory, where you're both studying the universe and things that we know about the universe. So when there's kind of a breakthrough or a change in what we know about the universe, it's been exciting to me lately. So it's coming out of Savannah, Georgia. Physicists with the Baryon Oscillation Spectroscopic Survey, that's BOSS there. It sounds like such an
totally
evil
boss,
organization.
Dude.
Totally
like
boss, dude. They have improved on their measurement technique by being able to calculate the expansion rate of the universe. We used to really sort of have a fuzzy number about that. It wasn't something that we could precisely calculate. But based on quasars, extreme brightness, gas clouds backlit by ultra bright galaxies called quasars, they've been able to pin down a figure. It's stretching by 1% every 44 million years with more precision estimates than our current expansion rate. So we weren't able to like pinpoint how fast our universe is expanding, but based on, you know, looking deep into science and looking, if you think about it, back into our cosmic calendar, like
right.
You know, Neil deGrasse Tyson's always talking about, it's just anytime there's any kind of development with a the universe, knowing more about the universe, it's definitely intriguing to me.
Or at least this universe. Ooh.
Ooh.
We could still be in a black hole.
Yeah.
We could be. We could be in a little, like,
you
individual
could be
yeah.
Adam in a giant's fingernail, dude.
Wow.
All right. Looks like Adam Cooper and Bill Collage are joining the Brotherhood to write the adaptation for the Ubisoft's hit video game Assassin's Creed.
Oh, so they're still trying to make that.
Though the credits include, let's see, they worked on Accepted and New York Minute, the one with Olsen twins. They worked with Darren Aronofsky and Ridley Scott for The General and Exodus and a bunch of other movies like that. Michael Fassbender is still slated to be the producer.
I don't know.
And the star of the film.
The star of the film?
Yeah.
As the assassin?
He doesn't look like Enzo to me.
Come on. I mean,
Jake Gyllenhaal was born for this. Part of his face, so...
He already did that once.
No. Yeah, the Prince of Persia?
Yeah.
Parkour. As long as Jake teaches Michael a little bit of parkour, they'll be in good shape.
Okay.
But yeah, they're still... Foxes still have a hard date of August 2015. To release the film. So in other words, they have to make the film sometime before that.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Plenty of time.
They could bang out a script in a weekend.
You know, that happens all the time. Look how well it worked for Spider-Man 3.
Ooh.
That's news to us.
Oh.
I guess. I have no idea what else. There's always news over on Facebook, Twitter, and occasionally, often, possibly even, in the forums at geekradiodaily.com. So go there and other places because it's all kinds of fun.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Flintstress, my 7th grade English teacher gave me Clan of the Cave Bear to read, but not to the class. Isla is 10, I believe, when she's raped in the book, And that was, what, 16 years ago? So what's wrong with a sixth grader being exposed to a smidge of rape in a book?
Well, you remember it now. Were you traumatized?
Mind you, Clan of the Cave Bear was nominated for several literary awards, unlike this moronic zombie poppycock, however. Zombie poppycock. Huh?
We're talking about the rape... What was that?
I believe,
The Walking Dead?
I believe so, but that's a show, not a book, so... I was so busy thinking about that I forgot to... There's another paragraph. Although I'd also read Stephen R. Donaldson's Thomas Covenant books in sixth grade, which he first has some pretty awful rape in sixth grade, and Good Kind, Sort of Truth, which had some violent near rape in fifth grade. Perhaps I'm not the best person to make a call here. And that's from Ryan.
Singing in the rain.
Well,
I mean, you know, I mean, I would argue that at a certain age and done right, you know, it's good to for people to have an awareness of rape. And what I think, you know, I'm not going to, I think maybe one of my first like television or book experiences was that 90210 episode.
The very special.
Yes. So, I mean, it's just like at some point you need to kind of have an idea of what's going on in the world.
Wow. So I'm going to change the headline from Ryan and rape for the email on the notes. That sounds a little odd.
That could be bad.
So, hey, we've got some voicemails.
Hey, guys, it's the doctor calling in.
The doctor!
I'm actually catching up right now on some podcasts. I'm a few behind because recently I have been listening to the Game of Thrones books in audio format thanks to Audible. So that has been consuming all of my time. But I had to pause in the middle of show 218, the geeky spaceship circuit, because I heard that Billy Flynn, you just recently finished Alan Wake. And Alan Wake is a wonderful game. I agree with you immensely. This is a game that Indigo and I actually played together because we were living together at the time. I knew nothing about Alan Wake when it came out, and he turned me on to it, so I'm thankful for that because it's a game I probably wouldn't have picked up on my own, but it is just incredibly fantastic. I love the soundtrack to it, too. It's a wonderful, wonderful music track they put together for it. I also, Billy Flynn, wanted to recommend a game to you. It is Earth Defense Force 2025. And this is a game that you can play for 10 minutes and you will know if you absolutely love it or absolutely hate it. The entire premise behind it is you are just a small soldier fighting a massive army of giant insects and other various things. And the game is incredible. It has 94 levels with 4 playable characters and 5 different difficulty settings. So I have right now put in way time into it. And I'm only 10% complete because it will judge your completion rate based on getting through each difficulty with each class. So it is a fantastic game. I highly recommend it. You should try it out at least through Gamefly. And if you do, maybe we can get together and play sometime. Anyway, guys, I am going to get back to catching up on your shows. Hope you're having a great time. And stay well. Bye.
You know, I haven't played that particular iteration, but there was, I think it was, the first one was like... Earth Defense Force 2015, 2018, we stopped at a GameStop on the way to see my folks to pick it up for the kids when I didn't have my license because of that whole stupid thing. That was way back when.
Yeah.
Yeah. This thing is just, it's a big B-movie. It's just a huge B-movie. Hmm. That one was, it was giant ants. There were giant ants that we were just running around and shooting as they tried to. It was ridiculously stupid fun. And I would be interested in seeing a newer version of that because, yeah, good stuff. But yeah, Alan Wake. The music in that is damn fine. That builds the experience quite nicely. I think people would like if they give it a shot. Oh, that's right. That one doesn't work that way.
Hey, gang, it's Jared, and I'm just listening to the bracket for the spaceships and nitpick. The Super Star Destroyer from Return of the Jedi is not the Executioner. It's the Executor.
Oh,
anyway,
that's right. Okay.
I'm sure I'm not the first one or the only one to point it out, but, you know. I don't get to see that guy very often where I
this is my moment
that somebody got wrong that I knew. So I, you know, we all have to be that guy sometimes, so that's me taking my turn. Anyway, keep up the great work. The show's entertaining as always.
I love that he confesses while he does
that. I don't get
that.
To be a jerk often, but I get to do it once in a while.
No, but I'm the same way where you're just kind of like, wait, I know this one. You know, it's that
Aaron
kind of moment.
Burr.
Jesus,
hey, Jared, Tommy here. Nothing specific, just thought I'd call in. Heard there was a lack of voicemail on the sports
bracket episode. I don't know what that sports thing is, but anyways.
Yeah,
Flynn,
do.
Always nice to hear your Dreamcast appreciation. There was a reference a few episodes back, something about it. I miss my Dreamcast. I just killed, gone far too soon. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to anyone, but it just was. Oh, jumped into Archer. I've been hearing you guys forever, and it's on Netflix. I'm just like, you know what? Screw it. Let's see what this is all about. That is freaking hilarious.
Nice.
I'm just like, wow. I'm a bit behind. I got distracted with stuff, but it is just darn funny. Oh, Flynn, Rihanna Pratchett, who, of course, you know, Sir Terry's daughter, she did say on Twitter, in case you didn't hear, that The Watch, the Discworld show, is still in pre-production. Just random tidbit there for you.
Sweet. Later. Oh, does it end there?
I think so.
Okay.
Apparently it does.
I guess he got the cease and desist order on that one. So welcome to Archer.
Buddy Rich.
Oh, my.
I could never say no to a drummer.
Could you say no to anybody?
Oh, there you go. So welcome to the dollhouse. You know, if you'd like to send some mail, you can. It's podcast Billy Flynn, the Bruce Flintress, all at geekradiodaily.com. Or you can send one of those voicemails that the kids love so much to
510-GRD-CREW.
That's to where now?
510-GRD-CREW.
You don't look good.
I don't?
Well, you look better.
I can't compete with you physically.
You're not strong. You're silky boy.
Don't overlook my bat. I work out all the time. And reaping burns a lot of calories.
It's a GRD Fit Club. It's all the geek without the weight.
Yeah.
It's been a while since you've done a Fit Club.
Yeah, it's been a little while. So everybody's heard the advice about to go easy on the salt shaker, or perhaps more importantly, to cut back on eating packaged processed food that often contains a lot of salt. And why? Well, there's a lot of evidence linking excessive sodium intake to high blood pressure, which is increase of, you know, risk of high, you know, heart disease. Dietary guidelines say that you should consume no more than 2,300 milligrams of sodium per day. But now there's a new study that suggests that the optimum amount of salt in our diets may be a little more leeway for some of us. There's a new meta-analysis that was published in the American Journal of Hypertension concludes that low sodium and high sodium intakes both are associated with an increased risk of death. The analysis is based on 25 different studies they've all pulled together. All right. The study's authors also argue that consuming anywhere between 2,600 milligrams to almost 5,000 milligrams of sodium per day is associated with the most favorable health outcomes compared to lower or higher consumptions. In other words, we're eating probably about the mouse amount of salt that we need to be eating, because most people eat about 3,000 milligrams per
day. Wow. He's dead. What killed him? He was assaulted. Thank you.
Congratulations. Now, for those people who already have high blood pressure, they're still saying lower your sodium intake. If you don't have high blood pressure now, don't worry about lowering your sodium intake. You really don't need to. And this is something that I've
talked about. But don't raise it then.
You don't really have to go above 4,700 milligrams per day. They're saying that's the top end. Where you really want to go.
So how many times can I have fries at McDonald's?
Probably about twice.
Okay.
In your whole life.
What? No! But there, of course, there are, you know, competing studies that say, no, that we do this and this. So that's currently, this could change in a week. But sodium intake right now, we're eating, as Americans, about the amount of sodium that we should be eating.
Nice. Brought to you by diets. The American Salt Council.
Yes. Yeah, we don't overindulge on everything, do we? No, we got our salt right. Damn right we do. So, yeah, make that fun stuff happen. So give us 1 second to gather our thoughts and whatever other stuff we forgot all about, because we've got a main topic, apparently.
Yes, we do.
That's so fantastic. Coming up on episode 220 of GRD's Weekly.
SpecFicMedia.com presents Beyond the Wall, a Game of Thrones podcast.
Did I sound like I was blushing?
You sounded like you were blushing.
Because I was talking about swallowing?
No, I just want to stand on top of the wall and piss off the edge of the world.
Children don't need to hear your filth.
Doing this with me and...
Oh, yeah, baby. Can't wait to do it again with you.
Winter is coming.
The steel must be part of your arm. Can you drop part of your arm? No.
I thought Syria was a mix of Inigo Montoya and the Hispanic kid from Welcome Back, Cotter.
Hey, Mr. Cotter, I got a note.
That was really
bad. Juan Epstein?
Yes, exactly. So.
Sci-fi Smackdown.
Oh my gosh, what was that?
It's
Sorry, I just got a Google talk.
Oh my God, it sounded like you got hit by a big old clanging piece of metal.
She's gone 8-bit.
Not your mother's Game of Thrones podcast. Unless your mother is Cersei Lannister, of course.
To find out more, visit specficmedia.com.
Hi, this is Gareth David Lloyd, and you are listening to Geek Radio Daily with Billy Flynn.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield, all those who chose to oppose his shield must yield. If he's led to a fight and a duel is due, then the red and the white and the blue will come through. When Captain America throws his mighty shield. When Captain America throws his mighty shield, with strength to sail three lengths of a football field. His mighty shield, the joy inside that his eyes can't quite conceal. Every time he heaves it with force so brute, he's in ecstasy and must change his suit. When Captain America throws his mighty shield, Cap represents sweet freedom from New York to Los Angeles. He's the red, white, and blue. A patriot so true, he throws his shield in lieu of sex. Every time he hurls it, he bites his lip, cause he thinks that girls feel kinda like this. When he's choking the chicken and working the crank, and he's fogging the dolphin and having a wank. When Captain America throws his mighty shield.
And welcome back. Journey's Weekly, episode 220.
God, why do you do this to me?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, good
I'm
God.
I'm sitting over here on this side of the table, sir.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, we went to the movies.
We did. Purposely left off our geeky week. The geekiest thing we did was go to see Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Not the Autumn Soldier.
Yeah, the Winter Soldier.
Winter's here, apparently.
Not the Spring Soldier, either, because that'd be just a little flowery.
The Spring Soldier is fabulous.
Okay, then. So right off the bat, then, how about that Guardians of the Galaxy trailer?
Yes. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that movie. I'm looking forward to it.
Never. Just never in my life did I ever think I would.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
We got a raccoon with a houseplant bodyguard.
Right. And DC still can't put together, you know, a good movie.
Well,
Man of Steel was okay, but, you know.
It's something that that really, really hit me with Captain America here is that what they're able to do, and they did it so well with Thor as well, is like Thor and Captain America are two of the most ridiculous characters in comics. Really.
Right. I mean,
they're silly.
Okay. All right.
Go back.
The way that Thor talks, right? They're very proper.
The Rainbow Road and all of that.
Okay.
But they took those things and they just embraced them and said, yeah. Okay, you're right. We did that. So here's how that makes sense now. And, mm-hmm. and that's just working for them so much better because
instead of being ashamed by it.
Have you ever seen the Falcon's outfit from the 70s with the big red wings and the spandex bodysuit thing? Have you ever seen that?
I think I have.
Yeah, it's awesome.
At least he's not talking to falcons and birds in this one.
There is that. So
I mean,
yeah.
You know, I think Captain America and Thor are both also, one of the good things about it is they don't have that dual identity issue. I mean, Steve Rogers is Captain America, but it's not a secret. You know, like he meets the Falcon, the guy who, I don't remember his name.
Sam.
Mm-hmm. Like, when he's out running. And, I mean, he just kind of lives his life. He doesn't socialize all that much, but, like, everybody just knows who he is.
On your left.
So,
God, yeah. That was hilarious to me. He's like, on your left. And he comes to on your left. It's like, on your left. God damn.
Yeah, right? Not fair. I mean, he basically sprinted a marathon or a half a marathon.
I caught it. He said he ran 13 miles in 30 minutes. A little bit over 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
That is 26 miles an hour. That is Usain Bolt's sprinting speed.
That's crazy.
Yeah, because he was booking it.
Oh, yeah. And he ran 13 miles that way.
Booker's a
half
good
a marathon.
Cap.
Well, you know, and these movies are also, Thor, I think, and Captain America, Avengers as well, have a really good mix of the comedy and the action. You know? I mean, it's fun. Man of Steel wasn't fun. Dark Knight wasn't fun. I mean, there were parts of it that were fun.
The
but these
trick.
movies are fun. you want to go see them. You know, they're appealing for adults and for kids. It was just a good time.
So if you haven't seen The Winter Soldier, yeah, basically this takes place after Avengers. Certainly does.
Yeah, definitely.
Cap's been working some missions. We get to see the team work on a mission and right away just set up the drama and some of the
we get Balrog the Jumper, the Leaper.
Yeah, we get Batrog. That was so crazy.
That was, and
he's in the purple too. He's still got the purple and the sort of gold.
And they've
thing.
Got George St. Pierre. If you don't know who he is a UFC professional fighter and champion, great athlete, absolutely phenomenal athlete. A lot of those, he did a lot of that stuff himself.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure he did all of it himself. He can fight. The man can fight. So yeah, him versus Captain America. That's kind of like, I don't know, Bruce Lee versus Robin.
Sure.
You know, that's that kind of thing, yeah.
Because they have a similar fighting style, the way they move.
But no, it's the whole, it's a real badass right. versus a cartoon.
Versus a cartoon badass, yeah. Right.
And that was really awesome because, you know, that whole thing was just, it was a double shout out because they were on the Lemurian star.
Mm-hmm.
The Lemurians are a race of sea people that fought alongside the Deviants and the Celestials. So I don't know if they're setting that up or if it's just another...
I think it was just an Easter egg.
They're just throwing things
title.
Out there to people.
Yeah.
That was a
fanboy moment.
Okay. So we all saw the first movie, and the first movie is, as I like to say, was a story of a hero who becomes a man. And it's this battle and this epic and, you know, the whole war and everything. I was not expecting to get a taut political thriller with the Winter Soldier.
Yeah. Got a little bit of that. Yeah. It was the whole...
conspiracy and what's going on in the government, and you know, that was definitely the theme.
The black and white world that used to be the 1940s of, yes, we're the good guys, they're the bad guys, these
follow
lines are
orders,
these
do what you're told,
exactly, it's clear lines versus the all the shades of weird gray that we're in now, going, we do some effed up things for security and safety and liberty, and Cap's like, not into
nope,
that.
That's not freedom. I'm Captain nope. America. Done.
And I approve this message.
But I don't approve what you did.
Yeah.
And that's definitely interesting, that whole, you know, who can you trust dynamic. Okay. And here's a point. I'm sorry to go off on a little bit of a tangent.
Go for it.
I mean, the friendship development between him and Black Widow,
yep.
right, mm-hmm. was an interesting part of the story. It's kind of nice to see them bantering around. It makes sense that all of the Avengers are not together in this movie, right?
Yes.
Thor's off doing his own thing. Iron Man's, you know, got other things to do. The Hulk... fine. But where is Hawkeye? Where is Agent Bart? He is a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. Why wasn't he involved with this?
You probably see this. He's probably doing something else, and they'll probably allude to it in another movie.
Yeah. Sure,
I don't doubt that at
not all. Not S.H.I.E.L.D.
They could have given me some kind of something in this to say why he wasn't there.
There is a little bit of a Hawkeye Easter egg.
There is. Oh, you saw it too?
I saw it.
Nice.
What was that?
Her necklace.
Has an arrow.
It's an arrow. So yeah.
Yeah, but so they needed just a line about where the heck he was for all of this. Because we know, what other S.H.I.E.L.D. agents do we know? We know, you know, Coulson and his group. It makes sense that they weren't in the movie. They were off doing their own thing. But it's like, so we didn't know. It just, there was no...
But a guy from the show was in the movie.
Yes, he was.
And that was pretty cool.
I love that they said that. It's like, oh yeah, I got this mission I got to go do. Guess what? Week later, he's on the
mission.
Ship. He's on the ship.
Yeah, and obviously we'll talk about this in a minute, the integration of the movie with mm-hmm. the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show. But I loved the scene in the elevator that's in the trailer, but it's a little bit more developed in the story.
Yeah.
You know, you see him look around and you see all the things that he can see.
He knows what's going on. It's like, oh, son of a... All right, before anybody gets there...
Anybody want to get off?
Okay.
All
right.
Do we really got to do this?
You sons of bitches. So, how should we go through? Just keep going as the story goes along?
Well, I mean, so the concept of this is, so there is something is wrong in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
There's new tech coming out. There's new helicarriers that Stark helped work on. Huh? Nice.
Yeah, I have to get a really up-close look at
them. Up-close look. Aha, you guys are funny.
Yeah.
Remember that? He was flying around in there.
Clickety, clickety, clickety,
clickety. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
I saw that movie.
So there's some strange things that are happening within S.H.I.E.L.D. and it comes to a point where Cap doesn't know who he can or cannot trust.
Yes, pretty much. Because, all right, if you're listening to this, you either seen the show. Let's go spoiler.
So let's
hit the spoiler.
Spoilers.
All right, Nick Fury is killed.
Yeah,
Okay.
No one for a minute believes that Nick Fury is dead, the internal people in S.H.I.E.L.D. believe it.
We know how many more movies Samuel L. Jackson has on his contract with Marvel.
Yeah, exactly. So he's
unless we're flashing back to gardening with Rick.
Why? So and then it was the whole, who can you trust? Who can you not trust? Don't trust anybody unless you can trust them. Really? And this story just kind of goes with that and has just enough action to make it interesting for the people who are just in it for the action. And then there's the whole storyline.
Robert Redford, I think, did a pretty good job. As the bad guy. Yeah. Did you like him?
Yeah.
Okay. Did he just look like Robert Culp to you from Greatest American Hero?
I could see.
One of the scenes, you're kind of looking up at him and you're just like, dude, that's Agent Maxwell.
I could see that. I could see that. That was a nice little, if you know the comics, you know, you kind of weren't surprised by the twists and turn of his character, although they changed it a bit, but he still sort of stays.
I'm glad they did a little bit. Yeah. So.
But eventually we find out from this flash drive that we recovered that, you know, Natasha had a different mission on the original one and kind of left Cap hanging. But, so then we find out eventually from what's on the flash drive that they recruited scientists and stuff who had been working for Hydra, which on the one hand kind of makes sense because you're like, well, they're intelligent. We might as well have them on our team and have them develop things for us, you know, but to think that they would just switch their allegiance.
That's what really happened.
I mean, if you know the Hydra mythology from Greek, you know, from Greek days, that's the thing about the Hydra. You cut off one head and two more grow back. I just don't understand how from the first Avenger anybody thought that Hydra wasn't still around.
But the thing is, when they actually did have German scientists from World War II, they brought them over to the United States. That's how the Manhattan Project got started. That's how a lot of other things happened. They brought scientists and
well, they watched them a whole lot more carefully than this guy because
you'd hope, you think.
Because he just did a whole bunch of stuff right under our nose.
And
not
started,
just him.
And started basically the rebirth of Hydra
within
S.H.I.E.L.D.
S.H.I.E.L.D. Crazy. And not just within S.H.I.E.L.D., I mean senators and, you know, all kinds of things involved. Drink.
It kind of makes Iron Man 2, the first scene in Iron Man 2, just a little cooler.
Yeah, it makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah, it looks more like, we need that army. No, you know, it's me. It's mine. Kiss my ass.
Oh, you didn't want it for the army. Well, not that army.
Well, not, yeah, exactly.
No, that's right.
Hail Hydra.
The memes for that are funny too. Anybody whispering into anybody else's ear? There's Bert and Ernie. There's some kittens.
My Little Pony.
All kinds of ones like that. Yep.
Hail Hydra.
Which is awesome because I remember saying at the time for the first movie, I'm like, Hydra is too big a part of the mythos. That's there's still got to be something.
He's still the bad guy. They're
so guess what?
Guy.
There is still something.
And I'm glad they didn't throw in Red Skull.
Yes.
You'll see him again, I'm sure. But. Yeah.
Well, look who we did get back, though.
Yeah. You got the robot guy.
Oh, my God. He kind of, in the comics, was sort of in a robot thing.
Body.
For a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this was a nice little way to do that. And it's embracing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Without being, you know, the Metamorpho or somebody else like that. You
exactly.
Know?
Exactly.
Well, let's talk about the Winter Soldier.
Yes.
Winter Soldier
has apparently been, you know, assassinating and wreaking havoc for 50 some years. So
yeah, quite some time.
People to think that can't really be a real person, but
it's going to be a code name like James Bond.
I was a little bit upset at first that the trailers eventually showed his face. Like, why have your face covered at all if there's supposed to be some kind of reveal? But if you think about it, the way the internet is and the way just like the world is, it would have been spoiled anyway. There's no way you go into that movie not knowing that that's Bucky.
My wife would have, if she went with me to see the movie, my wife was like, oh yeah, by the way, the Winter Soldier is Bucky.
What?
What? But to get to see Cap's reaction, I mean, he was certainly not prepared for that.
He doesn't get on the internet.
No, right. Apparently he does not.
He's still at MySpace and a Zune.
He hasn't seen the damn moon landing.
That was funny where he added Marvin Gaye to his like list of things he needed to catch up on.
And apparently, another thing I read about.
The different lists in the different countries?
If you're different countries, that's a different list.
Yeah, they have slightly different things. Yeah. Like Japan or something has Old Boy as the movie to watch, which is a damn fine choice, sir.
Yeah.
But it might freak the hell out of Captain America, I think. But you'll enjoy that. You'll watch the moon landing, then Old Boy. That's a good double feature right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good stuff.
So, let's see.
And so he's had a metal arm thing.
Yep.
like surgically attached to his shoulder.
They were quite embracing the comic on this. I mean, the look is spot on. The metal arm. We even got the comic panel of him punching the damn shield.
Well, my moment was, I mean, and I know it's in the trailer, but when Captain America throws the shield and he catches it and throws it back and then sends Cap flying, that's kind of like, alrighty then, this is going to be a battle.
Now, that's an interesting little thing as well. That's an interesting little... Oh, look, he caught the shield. How about that?
Yeah. He might, it might be one or two times he holds that again.
Yeah, might maybe.
Yeah, and I kind of liked but also kind of didn't like the whole my friend is in there, he will remember me kind of plot. You know, like, I'm going to risk my life on the fact that their brainwashing didn't fully work.
Then I'll die. It's Bucky.
He's my friend. Mm-hmm. He'd be there for me till the end. You know, that kind of...
End of line.
They are supposed to be best friends, BFFs, but it's like... It was just a little bit like...
Then, yeah. There wasn't a bromance back in the 70s.
Yeah, they had their bromance.
We're on to something big here, Bucky.
Wow. He throws his mighty shield.
He certainly does.
Yeah.
But no, that was handled quite well. And kudos. I forget the name of the guy who plays Bucky. I do not remember his name.
Sebastian...
Not Shaw, though. It's not Sebastian Shaw. So it's not that.
Hold on a second. But, I got it up.
It's quite well. I
Stan. Sebastian Stan.
Right. He made me believe...
That he was... Yeah.
That whole inner turmoil, actually. That's a tough thing to pull off and not look stupid doing.
Yeah. Let's go with another actor that played their character extremely well, and that was Anthony Mackie, who played Sam Wilson, Falcon.
Yeah.
You believe he's just a little green with everything that's going on, but he knows he can handle himself. He knows what he's doing.
And, you know, they bond over the whole, I've lost my best friend and I feel like it's my fault and served time. And I think, you know, that was it's hard for anyone who's never been in the military like me, or, you know, I can talk to people and you can sort of understand what it's like, but the coming back home and your bed is too soft because you're not used to it. And like just the way that the world is different. I just thought that was conveyed very well.
Yeah, very nicely done. Very, very nicely done. If you haven't caught on, I think we all seem to have enjoyed the film because so far we're having a damn fine time.
Mm-hmm.
Damn fine time. So the big mission, you know, having to go up against the bad guys, figure out who the bad guys are. It's all sort of telegraphed. You can see it coming.
Oh yeah, of course you can.
You know, if you know, you don't have to know the comics at all. I think you can figure it out. Or if you just sit there, you can be pleasantly surprised. But I think handled quite well overall. This was, there was funny in places, as we needed. So there was some damn fine action. Some damn fine action in this one. Kicking some ass.
I thought it was smart how, at the time during the movie, I was kind of like, why is he telling everyone what they're about to do? When Captain America gets on the loudspeaker at the Triskelion, is like, hey, here's what's going on, you know, everybody. And people really did just plain believe him because he is possibly the most believable person, like incapable really of lying. You know, they call Superman the Big Blue Boy Scout, but I think Captain America might be more Boy Scout than Superman. But so he gets on the you know, radio, and then people at SHIELD are willing to like risk their lives for him. And that was, I guess at the time I was like, why are you telling the plan? Sneak up on them. But like, then I realized that it had a good thing. And with Natasha putting everything out on the internet, it was kind of like, well, if something happens to us, if we don't make it out of here, at least SHIELD and HYDRA don't get to continue doing all that, you know, that they were doing.
So in some universe, Rorschach's plan actually works.
Yeah. President Ronald Reagan.
Crazy. No.
This was the only problem I had with any of the action was the too damn shaky of a shaky cam. During some of the fight scenes, I wanted to see the action, not kind of jump around and catch it. I wanted to see the knife fight that they had between Cap and Bucky was absolutely amazing, and if they
left the camera alone and just let us watch it.
A little bit. Yeah, let us watch it. Because I know they worked their ass off to get that looking just right. You know, let us watch it. That's the only problem I had with the action scenes.
Did you see it in regular 3D?
Regular.
Okay, we went and saw it in 3D, and I thought that it was pretty good. It just made it deeper and more rich, and maybe they. I don't remember
know if
noticing
that.
Out,
but yeah, I don't remember really noticing
it. It was a little too shaky.
And there was was it a conversion? I don't remember because there weren't
Everything's
any like
a conversion.
Well, there weren't any like gimmicks really. Yeah, like you never threw
the shield
at
never
the screen.
Came out the screen. There was
there
nothing.
Was never anything like that. It just felt you just felt the depth.
Yeah. So,
and then we also had Agent Peggy Carter. His flame, Lady Peggy. Yeah.
Okay. Right.
And the turmoil on his face as it goes through, and he goes, "Yeah, he's talking." And then all of a sudden, she coughs, and then the Alzheimer's kicks in.
Oh, dude, it's not.
Yeah, that's rough.
Just that just kind of like you can see it on his face, like,
Yep, I'm.
It's hurting him.
It's me.
Something he can't fight. Something he can't fix.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's the woman he loves. I mean, for him, it's been what 5 months. For her, it's been 70 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that they still keep in the heart with it
because,
you know, you can tell he still
loves her.
The transition to everything, trying to figure out. Yeah, that's going to make the next movie really interesting, I think. It's going to make the next movie really interesting. Mm-hmm.
What else was it?
Want to keep spoiling stuff? Because we can't.
Oh, yeah, let's spoil stuff.
All right. Agent 13.
Yep.
Sharon, who lives down the hall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you think that it's the neighbor and, we're going to just do some laundry and da-da-da-da, and then, she's actually an agent.
Well, see, it depends on how much you know about comics and stuff, too.
Yep.
She's Agent Sharon Carter.
Yeah. She's the niece.
The niece of Peggy.
Oh.
Oh.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, they were sort of setting up that romance potential.
They were.
Yeah, as she goes now to the CIA.
Yeah, which is an interesting twist. So
okay, we'll go with that.
Maybe they'll give her own show.
I'd like to see Agent Hill's adventures at Stark.
Right.
Well, speaking of that, you will start seeing a little more of Hill in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes, you will.
Yes.
Well good, because she's not filming How I Met Your Mother, so she's got stuff, you know, Smothers.
Yeah, she's actually going to be
like
in,
she does
a,
on the screen,
one or two episodes this season.
Well, there you go.
She's going to be in this season, along with the not-so-dead Nick Fury.
Not quite, so possibly.
Yeah.
That was a cool scene, though, where... I know we're jumping back towards the beginning of the movie, but where his car gets attacked and the car is like diagnosing everything and they have a battering ram to get through the window and then you think he's caught and he ain't caught.
I got all kinds of the repulsor.
He's one bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
I'm just talking about Nick Fury.
Yeah, I can dig it.
I was waiting for the repulsor. I was waiting for the thing to take off.
Possibly.
I was thinking.
It was probably disabled.
Yeah, because he was thinking the repulsors, I was like, all right, it's going to take off. Cool.
Where we're going, we don't need roads. Oh, apparently we still do.
We still need roads,
Never mind, that part is broken. The only thing functional, air conditioning.
Air conditioning. Son of a bitch.
Industrial strength air conditioning. Put in by union people.
Let's see. Want to go through Easter eggs?
We could do more Easter eggs.
Let's do some Easter eggs.
There was some shout out to other characters.
Yep. Yes, Stephen Strange.
Doctor Strange got hardcore mentioned.
Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah. Bruce Banner, Stephen Strange.
All these dangerous people are people that S.H.I.E.L.D. is keeping an eye on.
Or Hydra is keeping an eye on.
Which means, is it time to pull out the old 70s Doctor Strange TV movie and get a commentary going on that one?
Well, maybe.
Oh,
maybe,
my God.
Maybe.
So did you catch the other one when he's talking about that? When he mentioned the Egyptian guy?
Are we talking about... not Mandarin. We're not talking about...
No, we're talking about Moon Knight, baby. It's got to be Moon Knight.
Moon Knight?
They didn't say Moon Knight.
Okay.
But the description, Egypt and crap, it had to be. It was like a valedictorian something.
It
located in Cairo, Egypt. Got to be Moon Knight.
Okay.
Got to be flipping Moon Knight.
That one I did not catch.
That was a beautiful thing. That was crazy. Crossbones was in this movie.
Crossbones. I had to catch that one up because I was like,
I had to look at it because I was like, wait, I think I know this guy. That looks, it is, it's Crossbones.
Yep. And then, of course, the, actually, one of the things that kind of went a little meta with this one, the writer, the creator of Winter Soldier.
Yeah, Ed Brubaker.
Was in the lab.
Yeah.
Was the guy who was putting him back in the chair.
Yes, he was.
That was kind of cool.
I'd like to still think he's wearing the Geek Label shirt, Rule 1, Bucky Stays Dead. I'd like to think he's still wearing that.
That would have been great.
I loved him in that video wearing that shirt. That was a fantastic time. That was a really good time. Let's see. Baron Von Strucker.
Let's go ahead and... There's the mid-credit and the after-credit scene.
How many people
before we get to that?
Most.
Really?
Dumbasses.
Before we get to that? What?
Well, I was thinking on Nick Fury's grave. They have...
The quote from...
From Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
The path of the righteous man. That was
Ezekiel 25:17 cracked my ass up. I was like, what?
You were giggling.
That was quite well. That's touche.
Yeah.
Touche.
Excellent. Excellent. Very, very well done. So let's hit mid-credit scenes and then final credit scenes.
Certainly.
Mid-credit scenes. I'm like, then you get Baron von Strucker. I didn't remember his name.
Yeah.
But then Baron von Strucker. But then you see the two kids. I'm like, yep, that's Quicksilver, and that's got to be Scarlet Witch.
Yes.
But didn't you say that Quicksilver was also going to be in Days of Future Past?
Yes, he is.
Two different actors.
I hate when they do that.
Different studio, different universes of characters, which is crazy.
But they have Loki's scepter.
Yes. And,
yes, they do.
And the one that is going to be in Avengers 2 is not going to be in a Hardee's commercial eating a burger really fast like the other one is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's that.
Okay. Let's see. And then you get the after credit scene. Winter Soldier, Bucky, starts to learn about who he was by simply reading his bio in the museum.
I liked the use of that, you know, where Cap needs to get his old uniform back and he goes and he gets it from the Smithsonian.
Gets Stanley fired.
He's walking around and has the hat and, like, the kid sees him. That whole, because if Captain America was real, there would definitely be an exhibit about him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Heck, there was a Michael Jordan exhibit for the longest time.
They do a fair amount of that kind of, not pop culture, but like, you know, I mean, that recent history as well as older history.
Yeah. But, and the fact that he had to go back and get it and everything like that, just hilarious. Did you like the costume he was wearing, the uniform he was wearing in the beginning, which is kind of more U.S. agent than it is...
Oh, the Secret Avengers?
Yeah.
I think it's the bluish.
It's a little more muted, a little more
It's
a little
subtle.
More of a S.H.I.E.L.D. version of his outfit.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Because he was acting as a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
Exactly. It's U.S. agent. It's, you know.
I love when he jumps out of the plane and they're like, does he have a parachute?
Yeah, doesn't he?
Thank you once again for pulling from the Ultimates.
Mm-hmm.
She thinks parachutes are for sissies. So, yeah.
And did you see the little American flag he had on the uniform?
Yo.
I liked that. It was kind of cool.
Very nice. So it was a damn fine time. It's quite a good movie. It is still that the of franchises that they have so far, I would say it's the most solid. It's the most
of
solid.
For the two movies. Yeah.
Of the three series that they have two movies out of.
Yes. Yeah. I'm saying those
correct.
Two movies.
Better than Iron Man 2 and 3.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I liked Thor: The Dark World. I did too.
But this was a better movie
this
than Thor.
This was better than that. Yeah. Not by a lot. They were both pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go with that one as well. Let's talk about how they're kind of tying it into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, as you saw the week before, the Tuesday before the film came out, they just went ahead and
put that scene.
Just put that scene right there in the show.
Yeah.
That was great. That was a great moment. You're like, oh, snap. Oh,
and now, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s kind of falling apart, and you see it. You see it actually happen. You actually see it start to happen. S.H.I.E.L.D. is falling apart. The line at the very beginning of the episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., this current one.
Did you say Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Agents of S.H.I.L.D. Not the Asians of S.H.I.E.L.D. Okay.
I was wondering.
Nobody trusts each other. The whole don't trust anybody. Because May had a secret line to...
Hail Hydra.
Yeah.
Hail Hydra!
May had a secret line to Nick Fury, but couldn't tell anybody it was Nick Fury. When they do get that line back up and running, Nick Fury's dead.
Oh, no.
Yes. And everything's going to crap about the same time. The whole Academy is going down. The hub where they're at is falling apart. You kind of finally see who the good guys and bad guys are. And you have a hell of a twist at the end. Yeah, I'm not going to spoil it for you too much.
Okay.
But it's a hell of a little bit of a twist at the end. And then you see the previews for the next week's episode, and then you have a scene from where the carrier's going into the Triskelion.
Nice.
In the episode.
Oh,
yeah.
See.
It's going straight into it. They're not playing with this.
That's what I enjoyed so much seeing, Winter Soldier in S.H.I.E.L.D. last time.
Yeah.
It was like, we've never had a show and a movie out to this level have interaction.
Yes, exactly. Now, when Thor Dark World came out, they did a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Kind of a cleanup type thing.
Yeah, but this was
you had to have seen Captain America to really appreciate this episode.
And when I got done with Captain America, I was like, oh my God, I cannot wait to see S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, so was I. I was like, this is going to be really cool.
We've been tricking you the whole time.
And yes, they have.
So how are you going to rate this then?
Definitely the movie. I'm kind of wavering between 8.5 and 9 pants. I'm going to probably go 9 pants.
You're going to go with a 9?
Yeah, go with a 9 pants. The only problem I had with it was a little bit of the shaky cam and the eye thing.
The eye thing?
When Nick Fury's eye.
Oh. Okay.
It's like they took I'm sure they took my records out. Well, they didn't take the other eye records out.
They didn't know about the other eye records because they thought he only had one eye.
Yeah. So that kind of like
No. See, when they went to records, Fury, eye, they only looked at right because they didn't. He had a left
I'd
one.
Still, that's, I don't. That
you think
was,
they just would have wiped everything.
Yeah, I think
you would have.
Yeah,
maybe he hit it somewhere else because he.
Yeah, because he's level 9.
Sure, yeah. Joshua hit it for him. That was clever.
Oh wow, really? Yeah, you want to play a game? That was so,
I said that. I said that when they turned the lights on. I flippin' said that myself, but then she says it. Then Cap says, "How about global thermonuclear war?" I'm like, "Oh my god, this is awesome!" Seen this,
I saw that movie.
But so we got to that, but not Star Wars. Whatever.
Well, it's more of a war movie.
Yeah.
He would be able to.
That's true. I was also, you got to build up to it, I guess.
Sure.
You know. Yeah.
He wasn't much for that Flash Gordon stuff. Oh, sorry. No. Wow.
Funny.
All right.
I would say 8.5 pants, I think. You know, good. I always feel like as time goes by, that it's less in my mind or whatever. When you rewatch it again, sometimes yes, sometimes no. But like, I definitely want to see it again. Maybe not in the theater. I don't have a burning desire to see it again in the theater. But like when it is available on the interwebs, I'll definitely want to watch it again.
Available on the interwebs.
I'm in like Redbox and
Yes,
well, I'm sure I know what you mean.
That's exactly
what you
mean.
I know what you mean. Yeah, I would say eight and a half. 8.5, definitely, because it's quite solid, quite solid.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I want to give it room to. I want to give any movie room to grow, and I guess there had to have been something. There had to have been something for me, like little tiny bits. But no, it's a phenomenal flick that everyone should absolutely see.
Yeah,
and watching S.H.I.E.L.D. Damn it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I saw that episode. It's like anybody who's complaining about how S.H.I.E.L.D. is not a good show can shut the hell up now.
Well, most people are gonna be like, well, why do I gotta watch a movie for the TV show to be good?
Because it's in a universe. And it's all intercombined.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I wonder for people who didn't see the movie this weekend, like that want to see it but didn't get a chance to see it this weekend, and then, you know.
You kind of missed out on a couple of things.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's why people have DVRs and stuff. So if you haven't watched the movie, then you don't watch the episode of S.H.I.E.L.D.
So this is like the big, summer crossover in the annuals, and you got to buy every damn issue.
Now, what really kind of got me a little bit is how early they released this film in the movie season, because this should have been a first weekend, Memorial Day weekend movie.
They got other things coming, I guess.
They've got 4 Marvel movies coming out. So, yeah.
I can space them out.
I think they knew it was going to do well enough that they could pretty much put it anywhere.
Yeah, but how much did this movie actually make the first weekend? It was like only $90 million or something like that.
It was number one. It made money. I have no idea.
But it kind of...
You want me to do research?
If a movie makes $90 million in the middle of summer, they consider that a flop on the first weekend.
No, it made $315 million.
Oh. Is that worldwide or just nationwide?
Box Office Mojo.
There you go.
Yeah.
The Mojo, the place to go. Why they haven't used that in ads, I just don't understand. Oh. Guys, talk to me. I'm good at this stuff. Really,
yeah,
I am.
Exactly. What's next in this series?
A Black Widow movie all of her own.
Yeah.
Well, they have a release date for Cap 3 already.
Which is actually the same weekend as Batman
Superman. One of them will move, and it'll probably be DC.
It will be. It will be them, because they've
been
chickens.
Waiting too long.
That $315 million was worldwide. It was $95 million in the first weekend in America.
Yeah. Which is kind of surprising to me. I actually thought it would be a lot higher than that. But again, it's not a summer
movie. 5-day total was $108 million. And as compared to Thor 2, Thor 2 did $101. So it did better than Thor 2. It did better than, or did a little worse than Iron Man.
Okay.
So yeah, it did pretty well.
All right. So what's next in the Avengers movie line? Is it Guardians of the Galaxy? Is that even going to be part of the Avengers movie
but
line?
It already has been, because
that
Thor 2.
That little bit of tie-in. Yeah, the little tie-in at the
Benicio
end.
Benicio del Toro is absolutely in that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And the whole damn thing's going to be about the Infinity Gauntlet anyway, so.
Well, yeah, they'll end up tying that back in when Avengers 3 comes out.
Certainly.
So, I want to know what's next.
I don't think it's going to be
May 1st, 2015 is the second is the Avengers 2.
I don't think it's going to be hardcore related to Avengers, but it's still they're still going to show they're in there.
Yeah.
You know. And that's why next time something goes down, well, why aren't the Guardians of the Galaxy there to help the Avengers?
Yeah.
They must be off with Hawkeye on a special mission.
It's possible.
Shut up.
Okay. I'm not really going to shut up, though. Judy's license is Creative Conversations. She's not responsible for recognizing 3.0 license. Make sure you check us on the Facebook, Twitter, and the forums at GeekRadioDaily.com. Drop us a note at podcast Billy Flynn, the Bruce Flinch, result at GeekRadioDaily.com, or send a voicemail to
510-GRD-CREW.
That's to where now?
510-GRD-CREW.
And we will see you in a week.
No, it must not end like this. Such a gigantic walking nightmare.
I asked for an army and all I got was you. You were not enough.
We each serve freedom in our own way, and liberty is its own reward. The world still belongs to the brave and the just and the free.
I want to be an American soldier. They say I'm too wimpy and miniature. They put me in a machine to make me stronger. And now they call me Captain America. How do you know I'm Captain America? 6'2", 240